Dozens of aid agencies face being permanently banned from working in Gaza from today after failing to comply with new Israeli registration rules. Israel says the measures are needed to stop militant groups such as Hamas or Islamic Jihad from infiltrating aid programs. But organizations such as Médecins Sans Frontières or Doctors Without Borders warn the ban will put lives at risk. Foreign ministers of 10 Western nations, including the UK and Canada, have urged Israel to reconsider, saying aid groups must be able to operate in Gaza as the humanitarian crisis continues. Bushra Khalidi is Oxfam's policy lead for the occupied Palestinian territories. I spoke to her earlier.
Good morning.
Just explain, if you would, is your organization threatened with a ban?
We're risking the revocation of our registration yet, but we're not yet in that final stage. We have received a final notice to submit information and that our registration will expire as of today.
What does that mean in practical terms?
I mean, in actual fact, technically, it is not going to change much because Israel has prevented us from entering any materials since March last year. But it means that our international staff will not be able to enter Gaza anymore. It means that we will not be able to issue visas, and we can't scale up our operations because we can't get materials into Gaza. So aid will remain obstructed. And obviously, it has implications on the communities that we serve because, you know, what we have, the advantage that we have is that we're able to, you know, go to the household level when it comes to delivering assistance. Unlike, you know, major big UN agencies, we can go to the person that is in the tent that can't reach the hospital. It also may mean that we can't access specific areas in the West Bank, for example, or provide legal aid services to people in East Jerusalem.
One of the major sticking points seems to be the demand from Israel that aid organizations submit a list of their Palestinian employees. Why is that such a thorny issue?
I mean, first of all, to share staff data would put people at risk. You know, we're being asked to hand over highly sensitive personal data of Palestinian staff and their families. That would include me and my kids, you know, without clear safeguards or transparency, which would violate our duty of care and also international data protection standards. But this can't be separated from the context. Gaza is the deadliest place on, you know, record for humanitarian workers, with over 500 killed during the genocide. So in an environment where aid workers have been systematically exposed to harm, our convoys bombed, our premises attacked, transferring sensitive personal data, you know, fundamentally increases risk. And, you know, our responsibility is to reduce that risk to our staff, not to add it. So this isn't a procedural issue. It's about being asked to endanger people as a condition for delivering aid.
And just spell that out for me. What is it you think that Israel will do with that information which would endanger lives?
Well, it's not just about the information. You see, we can't comply with a registration regime that imposes not just dangerous data sharing requirements, but also they're imposing broad political and ideological conditions that are unrelated to humanitarian work. Like, it includes demands that not just forcing the transfer of sensitive personal data. Like I said, 500 humanitarian workers have been killed in the last 2 years. Why would we hand over the data of those humanitarian workers to the very same forces that are killing them? But also, we would be subject to vague political criteria, such as alleged delegitimizing activities. And it also conditions humanitarian access on compliance with ideological tests rather than actual humanitarian need. So complying with these requirements would violate all of the different things that I've explained. And no humanitarian organization should be forced to choose between protecting its staff and delivering life-saving assistance.
Israel points to an MSF employee killed in 2024 who it says was linked to Islamic Jihad. MSF says it has no evidence for that. UNRWA, yeah, though, let 9 staff members go in 2024, saying they may have been involved in the October 7th attacks.
But there's not been any evidence so far of aid diversion at scale. Sorry. I mean, you know, it's been confirmed by the most major outlets globally that there's yet to see this evidence that there's this
Hamas aid diversion at scale. Humanitarian organizations operate under some of the strictest vetting and compliance and safeguarding systems in the world. Gaza is one of the most heavily vetted humanitarian environments globally, like with layers of donor, UN countered, diversion controls. They're already in place. There's no evidence that this new registration regime is going to improve security or prevent diversion. And what it does is that it politicizes humanitarian aid, it criminalizes humanitarian actors, and it exposes our colleagues and their families to serious risk. So, so preventing diversion is, of course, absolutely important, and we do that. But it cannot be pursued through measures that are undermining the very principles that we work under, or depriving Palestinians of food, water, and healthcare. Bureaucratic obstruction that harms civilians, it's not security.
Not on the diversion issue, but on this finding by UNRWA that 9 of its staff members may have been involved in the October 7th attacks. Has that finding undermined confidence in aid groups in Gaza?
Sorry, but most donors continue to fund these major organizations, and you're implying something where, again, no evidence has been provided. So, this applies to prevent militant infiltration in organizations or aid diversion. I mean, it's the same thing. Again, no evidence of this happening at scale. We know Gaza. We have been working in Gaza since the 50s. We know how risky this place is. And we are receiving money from the US, from the EU, from Canada, from the UK, from all major donors in the world. Surely they're not throwing their money knowing that it's being diverted at scale. Otherwise, we would not be continuing having the confidence of all of the members of the international community. We are a renowned organization with credible expertise and work around the world. I mean, to imply that we are allowing Hamas infiltration into our organizations and diverting, aid at scale with no evidence is unacceptable.
And just give me a sense, if you would, of the current humanitarian situation in Gaza. We've seen images of terrible flooding, for example. It's obviously winter there. What's the current situation?
The current situation is that this is the third winter where they are having to use almost the same shelter materials that they've been surviving on for the last 2 years. And at best, they are subpar. And if anything, they may not even have access to it. Water is basically polluted. Even the drinking water is polluted in Gaza. There's sewage overflow everywhere. And there are not enough tents. There's no shelter materials. There's no materials allowed to enter to repair water system and sanitation systems. So that's the situation that the Palestinians in Gaza are dealing with while we are, debating staff lists and registration. This is what we really need to be talking about.
Bushra Khalidi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Bushra Khalidi is Oxfam's policy lead in the occupied Palestinian territories. And in September, a UN commission of inquiry found genocide is occurring in Gaza, which Israel denies, while the International Criminal Court has an ongoing investigation into potential war crimes and is seeking arrest warrants for Hamas and Israeli leaders, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.